Morning is found in Psalm 80. The psalmist writes and says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come, save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved." Brothers and sisters in Christ, our only hope to find salvation is in the God who created the heavens and the earth. And so this morning it's in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, that I say grace and peace and mercy unto you. The Lord has greeted us. Let us worship Him together.
Our brokenness,
our imperfection, our need for a Savior, one to find us and rescue us, one to meet us and to adopt us, to make us your own. Lord, we confess that in our sin, in our brokenness, in our loneliness, we have isolated ourselves. We have locked ourselves in our own rooms. We have believed our own lies. We've believed what we have said about ourselves and what the world has said about us. And so, Lord, this morning, we simply confess that you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the good shepherd. You are the door. You are the one that we need. You are the one who leads us out to the green pastures. And so, Father, thank you that you have done that for us through the work of Jesus on the cross, through the work of your Spirit convicting us and teaching us and showing us the work of your Spirit applying your truth to us and making us your people. And so, Lord, we give you thanks and praise. We proclaim these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand again. Some are rightfully protesting pray is that justice will be done. I don't know. There's investigations taking place in Minneapolis. We pray that the Lord will just simply allow justice to take place.
Amen.
And that he will protect the innocent, regardless of their status, or their color, or their race, or their religion. We pray that innocence will be protected and that righteousness will prevail. Let's pray.
Amen.
Good and gracious God, we thank you for your faithfulness and your mercy to us. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who meets us in brokenness, and you not only reveal brokenness to us, but then you give us a way, you make a way for us. Your word says that you're the way, the truth, and the life. You show us your truth, and you call us, and you show us how to live. You make a path for us. You reveal your righteousness. And so, Father, it's in Jesus' name that we say thank you for that. That you're a God that's not just big enough to see the problem and know the solution, but you're a God that loves enough to meet us in that brokenness and to guide us, your people. And so, Lord, I pray for myself and for my friends, wherever they may be listening in today, that you would use us to be people, agents of your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love, your righteousness. And Lord, we pray especially today for those who stand on the front line to quell civil unrest, who stand on the front line, whether they're police officers or National Guardsmen, to protect the property of and businesses of innocent people who had nothing to do with a situation or a problem in Minneapolis. The people of New York or the Los Angeles or Eugene, Oregon have nothing to do. They have not caused that. And yet their businesses are being destroyed. And so, Lord, we pray that in the midst of a broken world, that you'd use us as agents of love and grace and mercy, kindness and goodness and gentleness and righteousness and peace. Lord, you are a God that's big enough to take the things that are broken in this world and co-opt them and use them for our good and for your glory. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd show us again that that's your nature and that's your character, that you meet us in our broken relationships and our broken minds and our broken hearts and our broken finances. You meet us and you speak words of peace and you call us to follow you. You comfort us and you feed us. And you clothe us in your righteousness. And so, Lord, as your people, we not only believe that can happen, but we expect that you are going to fulfill your promises to us as your people. And so, Lord, thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name that you'll be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. The sheep follow him. They know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon, and he is insane. Why listen to him? And others said, these are not words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Thank you, Mark. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this revelation of Jesus, this teaching of Jesus, this revelation that he is the door, he is the good shepherd. And would you guide us and lead us and teach us yourself by your Holy Spirit what that means. Not only what it meant then and there, but what it means for us here and now. Would you take this truth and apply it to our lives that we might become the people you created us and called us to be. That we might be the church for your glory and for goodness in this world. And to that end, Lord, I ask for a special gift, the gift of preaching upon, for apart from your Holy Spirit, I have nothing to add to your Holy Word. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. So, I too went this week. I went to a restaurant, and that was a nice experience. Actually, about a week ago, I went to the restaurant for the first time, and that was a nice experience. This weekend, I actually went to Eugene, Oregon, and visited some friends, one or two, which are listening even now. So, shout out to my friend Carlos in Eugene. So it's nice to get back to normal. It's nice to see your smiling faces here. It's nice to meet Rose, who just walked in the other room. Rose is the Gunther's baby. She's maybe, 5 months old now? Ish? 6? Beautiful, beautiful child. So that's really wonderful. So there's lots of good things that are happening. And actually, when you think about the good things that are happening, I'm grateful to God that he redeems the things that are sad, that are negative, that are ugly, that are evil, that are broken. And we believe that that's the kind of God he is, big enough to meet us in that brokenness and redeem all the things for our good and for his glory. And so we see him doing that again in our society. And of course, those of us who have faith in the work of Jesus on the cross never believed for 1 minute that COVID-19 would bring the end of human civilization. And that if it did, it would just simply usher in eternal life that is within. You know, there's nothing in all creation that is bigger than the promises of our God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're not afraid. And while that's true, there is sadness and loneliness and isolation that has that remains. Some people have found themselves very sad and isolated. It's been very problematic for many people. Some of you went off to your hidey holes and you went, oh, finally, I get to be left alone for a while. And others of you isolation and what that meant. And that's actually a picture of what we want to talk about today, that isolation. Not isolation because of social distancing and COVID-19, but just isolation that happens in a broken world. And so today I want to talk about how important it is to belong. I contend that human beings were created for relationship. Yeah. Right? We're created by a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's relationship within himself. And so he creates human beings, male and female. They were created in his image. And one of the things that means to be created in the image of God is that we are created for relationship. In fact, a main factor of any person's identity is the group, the tribe, the family, or the association to which they belong. How many of you belong to something? Some group, some organization? How many of you are part of a family? Some of you, were born into a family, even if you're not a part of the family now. How many of you have an ethnicity? How many of you have a religion? Right? We all belong. We're created to belong. It's what human beings do. They belong. Belonging is essential to being fully human, I would argue. If you don't belong to anything or to anyone, you're not really human. Belonging is essential to enjoying the human experience. And if you're a human being that doesn't belong to anyone and you're completely isolated and you don't ever interact with other people, you're not fully alive. And so belonging provides identity. It provides protection. It provides purpose. We discover our purpose, why God created us as we are living in belonging, as we belong to others, as we serve others, as we live in community. When our belonging is challenged, we suffer.
Pastor, one of the most serious forms of bullying is to exclude someone.
That's right, to isolate. That's right. I don't know if those of you probably can't hear that online. I haven't said one of the most serious forms of bullying is to exclude someone. Right? They isolate people. And that's absolutely what this is what happens in a broken world. So our belonging, when it's challenged, it creates suffering in us. For what reasons would people not belong?
They don't believe in the thing.
In the thing, okay. So whatever the vision or the mission of the organization, why would people not belong? What's happened in the world? That they've been abandoned, they've been rejected, they've quit. They've said, I don't agree with that, I'm leaving, right? That's not the vision or mission I agree with anymore. It's not my philosophy. Perhaps they get kicked out. Maybe they just grow away.
They're scared.
Right? They're afraid. There's lots of reasons that people choose or result in their So, why? Well, there's mistrust, there's hatred, there's division, there's differences. It's the brokenness of this world, right? What do we call someone who no longer belongs? We call them loners, we call them quitters, we call them orphans. They're isolated, they're excluded, they're rejected. It's an identity that then they wear. As I say those words again, notice how you feel. Loner, quitter, orphan. Right? How do you feel? You feel sad. Maybe. Lonely, maybe. Hopeless, forlorn. Nobody hears loner, quitter, orphan and feels good about it. Right? Nobody knows. Those who don't belong are not living the abundant life that God intends. there's something missing. Some of us, even though we sit here, surrounded by people, we might belong to a family, we might belong to a church, we might belong to a country, we might belong to another group or society or an organization, and some of us feel like loners, like quitters, like orphans. So isolation is not God's best for us. He created us to live in relationship, and we're often isolated or alone. It's not what's in our best interest. So what do the isolated need? They need community, don't they? They need people to surround them. They need people to adopt them. So how do you rescue an orphan? Adoption. Right? That's what happens. We need adoption. There's adoption right there. This baby elephant was rejected by its herd. Now, why would an elephant herd reject a baby elephant? I don't know. Right? And we only see one, but we see this sheep who is a flock of sheep adopted this baby elephant. Then we see this. By the way, brightside.me, that's where all of these, there's 18 stories of 18 animals, kind animals who adopted other animals. You know, that's not the way the world expects things to happen, is it? Right? We didn't expect the sheep, the dogs to be attacking the sheep, or at least keeping them alive in line. And there's a bunny, a mother bunny who adopted all these baby kittens, right? Now, the kittens were a little frustrated because they tried to nurse on that bunny. She wasn't capable of doing that, but they became friends. And that's nice, right? I mean, who doesn't like bunnies and kittens? By the way, if you don't like bunnies and kittens, you need to get yourself some help. And sometimes it's not the cats that get adopted, but the cats that do the adopting. And if you can't see in that picture, it is piglets. And so there's one tiger, the tiger queen, we might call her, adopting baby pigs. Piglets. So what do orphans need? To belong? They need adoption. Today's passage is God's solution for those who have been isolated, rejected, abandoned, and forgotten. Some of us need to hear how we can belong again. Some of us have been outside of the fold, if you will. And others need to consider how we view those that God is adopting. So some of us are being drawn to God and being invited to be adopted into His family. And others of us who are already part of that family, we need to consider how we can better understand and help and assist and participate with God's act of adoption. So I invite us to consider Jesus' words together. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, what's a sheepfold? We don't even have sheepfolds. Now, we live in Oregon, and there's quite a bit of sheep around, but, you know, I don't know really if I don't really know if I know what a sheepfold is. I mean, I do now because I studied it and I looked it up and I learned about it. But in those days in Israel, the shepherds would bring their sheep together at times and put multiple flocks into one sheepfold, one corral, if you will, one protective area. And it might be a stone fenced area or something that prevents the sheep from getting away, and they can keep them in there, and they can keep them, keep watch on them, and they can keep protected, keep them protected. And that's what the sheepfold is. But Jesus said, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. What is Jesus talking about? And then he says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And so there's this enclosure of some kind with all of the sheep in there, and apparently the door is guarded. And if you come, if you're the shepherd, you get to come through the main gate. But if you're a thief or a robber, someone would recognize you as such, or they wouldn't recognize you as the shepherd, so they wouldn't let you in. So that person is going to climb over. He's going to get in by another way, as Jesus says. In verse 3 it says, to him the gatekeeper opens, that is the shepherd. To the shepherd the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This is the picture of there are more than one flock in there. So when the shepherd of flock A goes in and he uses his voice, those sheep recognize his voice, and then he leads them out, while all the other sheep of all the other flocks gladly stay in the sheepfold because the other shepherds haven't come and called their name. And so that's how they would separate the sheep. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, because that's what shepherds do. They don't push the sheep, right? Cowboys drive cattle. Shepherds lead sheep. So when you find a pastor who's driving the sheep, that's a cowboy. That's not a pastor. Shepherds go before, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. They have relationship. There's trust. Everything about those sheep says our safety, our purpose, is dependent on this guy. A stranger, Jesus says in verse 5, they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Clearly, Jesus is making some important comparisons. One is good, one is bad. One's a thief and a stranger, and the sheep don't recognize him, and they won't follow him, and they don't know him. And the other is the shepherd of the sheep, and they recognize him, and they trust him, and they follow him. So there's some comparison going on. Verse 6, he says, This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. It was confusing. Once again, Jesus is speaking in riddles. He's saying stuff. And so Jesus gets a little more direct. He gets a little more clear. And he says, now he says, truly, truly, I say to you. This is the same word that in Greek that we use for amen. It's literally in Greek. Amen. Amen, amen. So Jesus again said to them, amen, amen, or truly, truly, or listen up, or truly this is so, this is true. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. I don't even know what that means. What is it? No wonder they were confused. What's the door of a sheep? I've looked at sheep before. I've never seen a door on them. Well, Jesus isn't done. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. Well, who came before Jesus? Is Jesus talking about Moses? Is he talking about Abraham? Is he talking about David? Who's Jesus talking about? Well, that's one option, that he's talking about the prophets and the kings of Israel and those that God placed as the patriarchs over his people. That's one option. But of course, Jesus wouldn't have said that about Abraham, because we know that just a chapter or two before, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced in it. So Jesus isn't going to turn his back on Abraham. He's not going to undermine the authority or trust in Abraham or Moses. No. So the other option, of course, is that those that have come before are these Pharisees, these false teachers, these so-called religious leaders who keep saying to the sheep, you got to do what I say to do, and I'm going to drive you. I'm going to drive you here, and I'm going to drive you there. And Jesus is saying, they're thieves and robbers, because shepherds don't drive, they lead. And the sheep, they don't listen to them. They don't know, because they don't trust the stranger's voice. In verse 9, he says again, I am the door. He said it the second time, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. And so Jesus says, I'm the one by which you enter in to the sheepfold and go out of the sheepfold. I am the one that the means by which you come into the flock, by which you belong, by which you find identity with this group of God's people, I'm the one. And if you find your entrance into God's people through me, you will be saved. And you will find pasture. So Jesus has confused them. This talk about the sheepfold, what is that? Robbers and thieves. I'm the door. Huh? What's that? Enter through me? Really? I don't even know what that means. Find pasture? What is that? Well, that sheepfold is indeed the body of God's people. It is the group of His believers. It is the people who belong to God. In Jesus' day, we can't just simply say it's the church, because in the context that Jesus spoke these words, there was no church. It was the people of God. It was Israel. And these robbers and thieves, these are the false teachers, the Pharisees, who pretend to be the leaders of God's people, and yet they are harshly treating God's people. And if they don't perform the right way, they exclude them. And they say, if you don't look the right way, or you don't do the right things, then you don't really belong to God. And Jesus says, no, I'm the door. If you're going to come into this sheepfold, if you're going to be part of God's people, you're going to enter through me. You're going to find salvation through me. I'm going to be the one who brings inclusion to you. And you're going to find pasture. Well, what's that famous psalm that talks about pasture? The 23rd psalm, right? What is pasture? It's rest in that psalm, right? You'll come by quiet waters. You'll find green pastures. You will rest. There's protection. The only reason you can rest is because you know you're protected. You ever seen an animal that's a herd animal, that they're by themselves, they're isolated? They don't rest. All right, what happens when a horse is alert? Where is its head? Up. When a horse is alert and on guard, his head is up, or her head is up, and their ears are forward, and they're listening. And you can tell when a horse is relaxed. What do? They drop their heads. They can eat. Oh, sure, they're still looking out of the top of their eyes. But if you can just get a horse to drop their head, you can get them to relax. The only reason they'll do that is because they know there's protection. And then, of course, there's provision. They can eat. And then and it's in that pasture where they find, and at least in the context of sheep, right? In the sheep in the pasture, that there's belonging and there's purpose. And they find wholeness and rest. Next, Jesus reveals the different purposes of the robbers and Pharisees, the difference between purposes that he has with the robbers, that is the Pharisees. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Who's the thief? Now this is an interesting question. Because if the thief is the Pharisee, what does it sound like, by the way? it sounds like the devil. So when you say it to a bunch of evangelical Christians, it sounds like the devil. But he just said, those who came before me were thieves and robbers. And he's very clearly been in this long conversation, this discourse, these battles with the Pharisees. And so, you know, is it the devil? Well, very, very possibly it's the devil. But often the enemy is using other people to do his work, his distracting purpose. So the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is accusing the religious teachers of robbing God's people of their abundant life. Now, how serious is that? Religious leaders that would deny God's people their abundant life. What is abundant life? I mean, we don't even. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and life abundantly. They would have abundantly. Well, he didn't really describe what that is, but we know it. You know, it's like that famous definition that the Supreme Court justice used about pornography. I don't know how to describe it, but I know it when I see it. Or indecency, I think is what he said. Right? I don't know how to describe it, but I know it when I see it. I don't know how to describe the abundant life. I can't say everything that's included in the abundant life, but I know the things that aren't in the abundant life. Right? The weight and the pressure. The burden of performance-based religion. You're only good if you follow all of the rules and you do everything. If you do the right things to appease God's wrath, then you'll have some safety because you'll turn away God's hatred. Or, if you do all the right things so you are accepted and loved. The problem is, I never do all the right things. Right? I'm not good at doing all the right things. Because even when I try really hard, I get to the end of that list and I find out, lo and behold, there's five more things I should have done that I didn't do. And this is what the religious teachers were doing to God's people. They were saying, the list is so long, the things that you have to do, the things that you have to believe, the things that all the laws, all the rules you have to obey, you just can't ever get there. And so at the end of the day, you're left wondering. You're left wanting some freedom. Bringing abundant life to God's people is Jesus' purpose. He alone can give abundant life. Why? Why is it that he alone can give abundant life? Because Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now this is interesting. The shepherd will go to whatever lengths the shepherd has to go to protect those he loves. He'll do anything he has to do. Doesn't matter what the robbers and the thieves have done. The good shepherd will step between the robber and the thief and the sheep. He'll even lay down his life for his sheep. And in this verse, we again see an I am statement of Jesus. In fact, we have, over the weeks, we've recognized that these I am statements where Jesus says, I am the living water, I am the bread of life, I am the door, I am the good shepherd. There are seven of them in John. And of course that word, that phrase I am refers not just to the statements that Jesus makes in John, but they refer us back to what God told himself when he calls Moses and sends Moses and commissions Moses and commands Moses to go to Egypt and lead his people out. And Moses says, I can't do that. Who do I say sent me? And God says, tell him, I am sent you. I am that I am. I am the sovereign almighty God. This is the self-revelatory name that God gives to himself. And so when Jesus says, I am, it's a powerful statement. And here we see two times in verse 7 and 9, he says, I am the door. And two times in verse 11 and again in verse 14, we'll see that he says, I am the good shepherd. So what's Jesus saying here? Well, first of all, we have to ask who Jesus is talking to. He's talking to a group of Israelites, right? These are Jews. He's in Jerusalem. He's in the temple, we believe. And he's having or at least in the vicinity of the temple, and he's having a conversation, and there's Pharisees and there's other Jewish people there. And who is the Old Testament shepherd of Israel? Well, in the Old Testament, God himself is revealed to be the shepherd of Israel. You heard it as I read it from Psalm 80 and the call to worship. But it's not just there. It's through all of the Old Testament. The law, the prophets, and the writings. Every section of Old Testament literature, God is proclaimed as the shepherd of Israel. Two times in Genesis. In the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Zechariah say that God is the shepherd of Israel. And seven times in the Psalms, God is called the shepherd of Israel. And so now Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He's not only identifying himself as God because he's saying, I am. He's borrowing the eternal name of God by saying, I am. But he is also proclaiming that he is fulfilling the task and the duty of God in the Old Testament. So beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus is boldly proclaiming that he is one with the Father, I am God, and he is fulfilling the Old Testament role of God as the good shepherd of Israel. That's who Jesus is saying. And thus he has the authority to make the comparison. It's only because he's one with the Father, it's only because he actually is God, who is the shepherd of Israel, that he can say, they're a bunch of liars and thieves. And they're doing the work of their father, the devil. Amen. Verse 12 says, he who is a hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Here it is more clearly. The hired hand, the thief, the robber, it's not the devil. The wolf is the devil. He's the one that's coming. He's the one coming to create fear and to scatter the sheep. To snatch them, to steal them. The enemy wants God's people. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I will not allow the wolf to have my sheep. So he flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But Jesus is the good shepherd. And so Jesus reiterates his role and his authority. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Right? So he's identifying himself again with the work of the Father. There is no separation between him and the Father. There's distinction, but there's not separation. There's Father and Son, but their work is one. And just as their work is one, Jesus says, I know my sheep. My sheep know me. I know my own. And those who belong to me, they know me. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And here it is again. It's a foreshadowing of what's going to happen on the cross. And we're looking through the rear view mirror of the resurrection of Jesus. And so we know that it's the cross. We can see it, but of course to those people then and there, they don't understand. All they may hear is that Jesus is the good shepherd and he'll do whatever it takes to protect his own. And of course we see it through the cross and we see it through the power of the redemptive work of Jesus, the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. And that's wonderful and good. But what if all you heard was, Jesus is the good shepherd, and he will do anything to rescue those who belong to him? Wouldn't that be good news? Next, Jesus expands his purpose. Being the good shepherd of Israel, that's a big job. That's God's chosen people. But next, Jesus says, that's not big enough for me. I've got something better than that. Oh, it's good to be the shepherd of Israel, because I am the good shepherd. But he expands his purpose, and he expands his people. And here in verse 16, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. In other words, not everybody is part of Israel. And I must bring them also. Very clearly, Bible scholars believe this is a reference to his work for to the Gentiles. And of course, who is it, the first person? Who's the first person to declare in John's gospel that he's the Messiah? Who is it? The woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. Come, see the man who's told me everything that I've ever done. Is this the Messiah? Surely he's the Savior of the world. It's the Gentiles who are getting it before the people of Israel. And so here Jesus is simply saying, I am the good shepherd of Israel, and that's great, but I also have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I'm going to bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. So it's not about being Jew or Gentile. Because there's only one flock. There's one people of God. There's one shepherd. For this reason. For this is the reason. This is the purpose, Jesus says. The Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. It's the third time he said, I'll lay down my life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. And I have the authority to lay it down. Why? Why do I have? Why does Jesus have the authority to lay down his life and to take it up again?
Because he's God.
Because he's God. Because he's one with the Father. He is the great I am. He is the good shepherd. He is the door by which you go in and out of. And if you are part of the sheepfold of God, it's because you went through Jesus, the one who is one with the Father. So he says, I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father is literally the word commandment. This commandment, this charge, what's another word? Charge, commandment, commission, right? This is the purpose that my Father sent, that I would do this. And of course, this talk was confusing, it was offensive, it was divisive, and their reaction is all over the board. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he is a demon. And he's insane. Why even listen to him? Another said, these are not the ones, these are not the words of one who's oppressed by a demon. Besides, can that demon open the eyes of the blind? You know, scholars aren't sure if this discourse should be connected to the last chapter where Jesus opens the eyes, brings healing to the man born blind. I'm going to argue that it is because of this statement right here. It's in the context of them watching the blindness being disappear from the man born blind, the healing come to this guy, his eyes are open. And how do we know that this comes, falls on the heels of that? Because this hearkens us back, right here. Can a demon get rid of blindness? No, demons cause blindness, they don't get rid of it. So, we know that John's purpose in writing his gospel was so that people would believe in him and have eternal life, right? That's what I've been reading every week since January about for last word. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in his name, you may have life. Right? We know that's why John wrote his gospel. So what might we say about John's purpose for writing this passage here in chapter 10? How does this passage flow into that? How does it feed that bigger purpose of the entire gospel?
To belong.
That we belong. There's a possibility for us to belong, right? Jesus was revealing that not only had Jesus come to die and to bring individual salvation, and that by believing you may have life in his name, John chapter 20, verse 31, but Jesus also died and rose again to create a new flock for all his people, the church, and that by the work of Jesus, we belong to him.
Amen.
And if we belong to him, who else do we belong to? One another. We belong. Friends, we live in a world, we still live in a world that needs it. So what can we say about the big idea of this passage here in John chapter 10? Jesus was sent by the Father to create a new community. He's creating not just Israel now, but he's changing it. He's expanding it. It's not just his purpose of being the good shepherd for Israel, but he's got a new purpose, an expanded purpose, and an expanded people, a new community for his own people who would experience abundant life by following him. Right? Because Jesus said he came to give life. The thief comes to steal and destroy and to kill, but I come to give life and life abundantly. We still live in a world where people are lonely and they're left out and they need to belong. We still live in a world where people long for purpose and meaning and abundant life. They're living every day. They're living every week. They're going week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. And the reality is that they know if they were to disappear today, that they would have made no difference in the history of the world. And some people fear that they wouldn't even be recognized that they're gone. That's the world we live in. That's the reality. And to that world, I say, there is one who is calling your name if you can hear it. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I know my own, and my own know me. In Jesus, God meets us as orphans to adopt us into his family and to create a new community. And the problem is, you know what? The church has often been, just like the leaders in that day, in Jesus' day, just like the leaders in that day caused the rejection and the abandonment and the loneliness and the bullying and the pushing out, today, sometimes, it's been created and caused by the church itself. And so, as followers of Jesus, we need to recognize that too often it's been the church that did that. But there is a new call and a new community, and there's a new voice that some people are hearing for the very first time, saying, come, follow me. Come, be in my flock. Be part of my community. So I'll ask you, do you feel isolated? Do you feel lonely? Do you feel abandoned? Do you feel rejected? Do you hear Jesus calling your name? Do you recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd? Because if you hear his voice, if you hear his voice. So there's two kinds of people right now. Well, maybe more than two, but at least two kinds of people listening to me right now. Some people are saying, no, I don't get it. I'm not interested. I don't hear his voice, and I don't care what you're saying. I can't believe you wasted this much. I've wasted this much time. I didn't waste your time. I didn't stick a gun to anybody's head. Anybody could have got up and walked out or turned me off a long time ago, right? So if you wasted an hour, that's on you, not on me. Just own that. Okay, now we can all be adults, right? Some people still don't get it and they're not interested. To which I say, okay, that's fine. And there's another group of people who say, I do care. I do hear that voice. I have a longing in my heart to belong, to hear the voice of my shepherd, to follow it. I'm not sure I want to yet. I might be afraid to do it. I got rejected the last time I was part of a church. How do I know it's not going to happen this time? There might be lots of good reasons, but that person is saying, yes, I hear his voice. And to you, friend, I say, it's about your relationship and commitment and your reaction, your responsibility to respond to the voice of the Good Shepherd in your life. So if he's saying, come follow me, just follow him. You can trust him, no matter where he leads you. You can trust him. Have people rejected us, hurt us, burned us, spurned us, offended us, bullied us? Yes, 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 yes. That wasn't God that did that. That wasn't Jesus. If you were being driven by a religious leader that was heaping on you rules and expectations that you were never good enough to fulfill, that wasn't Jesus. Perhaps you already belong. Perhaps you say, yeah, that's a great sermon, Pastor Bill, but I heard that 40 years ago. And I should follow. Well, if that's the case, are you willing to make room in the flock for another one? Will you slide over? I mean, with the social distancing and all that. Will you slide over and make room for one more? Will you share what you have? Because God has been gracious and merciful to you. Will you share that purpose, that life, that hope, that joy? Will you share that with another one? Can you welcome and adopt those that Jesus welcomes and adopts? Or do we need to do stuff here because it's about you? I only want to do stuff here that's about me. I don't want Sunrise to be the way I want Sunrise to be. Or is this his flock? Is it his sheepfold where he gets to be the one that brings people in and out? And he gets to be the one that feeds them and offers them pasture. Vision and protection and rest and peace and salvation. And so I ask you, to whom do you belong? Do you belong to the Good Shepherd? Are you living abundantly? I don't mean wealth. That may or may not be part of it. I'm not talking about some kind of name it and claim it false gospel. Are you fully alive? Because you belong. Because that's what God has for his people. He has for them abundant life. That's what Jesus said. I have come to give life and life abundantly. I want them to know that they are fully alive. Jesus says, I come to redeem them and make them mine so that they know they are in my image and they belong to me. Love, peace, and joy? Anybody need it? Anybody want it? We all want it. We all need it. Rose needs it even. Amen, sister. So who will shepherd you? Who will guide you? Who will lead you? Whose voice do you hear? Who will you follow? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your faithfulness to us, your mercy and your grace. God, thank you that your nature and character is to adopt those who don't belong to you, those who have been alienated from you, those who have been isolated. They've isolated themselves by their sin and their brokenness, but you have reached into their life and you have said, no, 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 you belong to me. Come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Come into my sheepfold. Come into my people. Come be part of those I have redeemed. Come find salvation. Come find abundant life. Find the purpose that you were created for. Find what it means to be an image bearer of God. Come and learn what it means to live life finally. Lord, thank you that you're that kind of a God, that you do not just, even if we wander for years and years and years, you show yourself faithful to go out, to leave the 99 and find the lost lamb who has wandered off. Thank you that you're that kind of God. And so, Lord, I pray for my friends today, if they're here in this room or they're listening online. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that those who wander will hear your voice. They will follow and they will believe and they will come in and they will find salvation and they will find rest for their soul. For those of us who are already part, Lord, would you open our eyes to see that you're still winning others. You are still bringing others. You are still adopting others. You are expanding your people and your purpose, and you are not done. And that we need to slide over and make room, and we need to share all the good things you've given us. We need to share with those that you're adopting today. And to that end, Lord, may you have your way and your purpose in your people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand together with me, if you will, for last word, and remain standing as we sing together. Last word, of course, is found in John chapter 20, verse 31. I've already read it today. I'll read it again. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have